He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, we know Jesus is referring specifically to the heart in this instance, but what about people who literally can't hear? How do we minister to those who are deaf? Join us today as we talk to our guest,
Sarah Schultz,
about the complexities of ministering to the deaf community. Welcome to the Happy Holy Hour, a podcast where everyday Christians grow in their faith through biblical examination and insightful discussion. I'm glad you're here today. If you enjoy the content you're about to hear, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, and visit us at thehappyholyhour.org. Let's get started. Today, we have Sarah Schultz on the show, a longtime friend of mine, a close family connection as well. How are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm doing good.
It's good to have you on. You've been studying like deaf community. You've been studying American Sign Language, and it's been an interesting topic for me, one that I've never really come into contact with. I know very little about. So before we get into that, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your backstory, who you are, and yeah.
Yeah, so I was born and raised as a pastor's kid and a missionary's kid. So I've spent kind of my whole life doing missions work here in America. And because of that, I've always had a heart for different types of missions. And so when I started going to college for American Sign Language and learning more about the deaf community and how the gospel fits into that and their background with the gospel, my heart really just wanted to be a part of that kind of mission. So it's been a cool journey of like two different parts of my life merging together to create a passion that the Lord has given me. So
that's really cool. And I'm sure we'll get into this a little later, but when we think of church and, you know, the way we do church is very much language, audio, you know, speak and hearing kind of interactions when you're in church. And it, you know, it never really crossed my mind how deaf people fit into, you know, the church community and how that works out. So I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit, but you're studying AI full-time, and Lord willing, we'll be working in this field. Can you give our listeners maybe some insight into the deaf community? You know, someone who's maybe never heard of this before, you know, is there anything that you can share that would just kind of make them aware about the complexities of this?
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting because when we think of different culture communities, we kind of think of outside of America, but the deaf community really has their own language and their own culture here in America, but also all over the world. They're kind of their own little group. And many of the people in the community, they refer to themselves as capital D deaf, which is meaning that they don't see themselves as disabled. They just see themselves as a linguistic and cultural minority. And so it's just, they have a full culture. Their language is a fully developed, really complex language. My favorite thing is they have something called Deaf Standard Time. So kind of similar to other cultures, they value relationships and conversations and connection a lot more than punctuality. So they may say like an event starts at 3 and ends at 6, but you show up at like 2:30 and then you're there till like 10:30 at night. Like you just never really say goodbye. So I think that part's really cool.
So I found some stats and I want to hear your thoughts on these and as we move forward. So I was preparing for this episode. I found that there's over 70 million deaf people that we know of, I think, around the globe, and only 2% of them know and follow Jesus, which is interesting. And it's like, you know, when we think of missions, a lot of times we think of unreached people groups, like we think geographically and you know, how that works. But, you know, I never really even processed that. You know, the deaf community just might be one of those unreached people groups. Can you speak to this at all? Like, how is ministry conducted? Like, is there I'm assuming there's a great need for those in the deaf community. Like, can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, I actually heard that statistic my freshman year of college. And that was like the moment that I was like, this is what I have to do. Like if I'm learning the language already, like I have to go into this. There is a really big gap in the deaf community and hearing the gospel. And I think a lot of it after talking to other people who are in deaf ministry and people from the deaf community just comes from a lack of access. You know, me and you, we can really just like go to any church. We can even pull up Instagram and find videos. We can go to Facebook and find videos. We can listen to podcasts. There's a lot of things that we have so much access to find something that we connect with and that we're comfortable with. Whereas the deaf community, doesn't always have that access. So it may be a little harder for them to connect with a church or to connect with if they don't know where to go for that stuff. And so there's just not a lot of resources for them developed for their language and their culture. But there are groups trying. There's the Deaf Bible Society has been working really hard to bridge that gap. So it just is a matter of coming into ministry just as we would, but in their culture and their language. And I think that's where the gap is right now, currently.
Another thing that I found just astounding as I was doing some research for this, and I'm sure this is like a duh moment for you, but ASL is just one version of sign language.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go around the world, even just like, say you go to Britain, it's English, but it's not necessarily the same sign language, correct?
No. Yeah. There are about like 350 known different sign languages. Wow. And it's always fun when people send me a BSL video, which is British Sign Language, and they're like, look, and I'm watching it and I'm like, do I know ASL? And then I go to the comments and I'm like, oh, this is British Sign Language. There's that moment of like, I don't know anything. Yeah, they're vastly different. Some are more similar than others. Like French Sign Language and American Sign Language. American Sign Language derived from France, so they have a lot more similarities. And then some you're just like, I don't know what's happening, if you know one. But yeah, there's a lot of different variations.
That makes sense. It was funny when I was doing research for this, and I was going on like the FAQ section for like a lot of different deaf ministry websites, and I think everyone had a section that said, no, deaf people don't need Braille. I guess they get confused a lot of the times because Braille is for people who can't see.
Yes.
And people confuse that.
Yeah, I don't really know why, but I've definitely heard stories of them going to like, of my friends going to restaurants and getting handed a Braille menu. So they don't need
That's
that.
Crazy. It's a question that I have, and I had some answers online, but like, so say if a deaf person were to pick up a Bible, we would say, oh, well, they can just read it and understand it. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? Where they can just pick up the scriptures and read it and understand it in the way that we would.
It really depends on the individual. It really depends on their background in English. English and ASL are two different languages. So just like, we could grow up learning a second language. We could have, you know, Spanish in the home and English outside. Then, yeah, they could pick it up and read it if they have a really strong understanding of English. But if they don't, then, yeah, it is a little more difficult for them to understand what they're reading because it's a whole different language. But there has been, actually, as of 2019, there was not a full ASL Bible. But
wow.
Last year, the Deaf Bible Society released like their last video, and they have the ASL Bible fully in videos, which is like an app now, and there's a website you can go to. And so that was a really big, we celebrated that last year when that last video came out. We all watched it in class and we were super excited about it.
That's so cool. Yeah. That's such an interesting and unique way of like studying the scriptures. That's amazing. But like, so English is heavily phonetic. We rely on those inflections and the context of things. And for someone that's deaf, maybe they were born deaf, they've never had that opportunity to like learn the inflections and the complexity of the English language. I mean, I'd imagine this would be hard for them just to pick up a Bible, look even just like the English Bible and read it and come to like an understanding of it that would be the same as someone who is hearing. I imagine that would be difficult.
Yeah.
Crew, Campus Crusade, you know, that's a ministry that I worked with back in college, and they wrote an article on the deaf community and kind of the great need that there is. And I guess up until recently, you know, they described it as the deaf are a Bible-less people. And because English is a phonetic language, it's tougher for most deaf Americans to understand then like pictorial ASL. There's no completed sign language translation of the scripture up until 2019. And, you know, these there's a lot of resources out there that I guess are still generally not accessible for people who are deaf, which is wild. I mean, can you speak at all to this? Have you had any experience with this?
Yeah, I think it was when I was probably a freshman and coming back home for the summer and working with some of the deaf community in my city. Just, I think one of the things that blew my mind is like the memorization of scripture is like, you know, for us is really honed in on in Sunday school and in junior church. And it's not something that's super honed in on, at least in the deaf church that I was going to at that time. And I think that's what like blew my mind. And I was like, oh, you're right. Like that would be, it's in ASL, it's not as simple as just like learning these five words in a row. And then this is where it's from. So it's a very conceptual language. So it's learning like what is the verse saying, which I think is really cool because sometimes if you look at it in ASL, you almost understand it a little better. I love watching interpretations from churches because you're not getting just here's a bunch of words, string them together. You're getting this concept of like this is what is being said. It's not weighed down as much with a lot of, I guess, the fluff that sometimes hearing people put on their sentences. So it's a little more like direct and more blunt and like, this is what they're trying to get at. And this is what they're saying, which I think can be really interesting for me to be like, oh, I actually never knew that that's what that meant until I kind of like thought about it in what, how I would interpret that or how I would say that in sign language. So it's definitely an interesting divide of like how we look at the Bible versus how they look at the Bible.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And, you know, even going further to like, say, the family context of someone who maybe was born deaf to parents who were hearing, I'd imagine this could cause quite the identity crisis and, you know, something that would be really challenging for someone that that's growing up in this context. Maybe the parents don't really understand how to handle, you know, a deaf child. You know, what kind of difficulties are there out there? You know, for people that grow up in these situations?
Yeah, so it really depends on the family, which is going to be my answer for everything. It depends. But I mean, I know some families whose children were born deaf and they took it in and they all went to sign language classes and they all learned sign language and they found communities for their child to join. And then I found other families who just have a different viewpoint of things. It really just depends on what the family believes, but there can be difficulties when there's, you know, a child who's growing up in a home that's strictly English and just kind of not knowing where to fit in. I know of one friend who went to church with their family for many, many years without an interpreter. So church was just a place that they sat. And they just looked at the PowerPoints. And so they were like, it's just not, they didn't have that foundation. And they were like, yeah, church isn't fun for me. I don't like church. And I was like, oh, why? And when they told me, I was like, yeah, no, I wouldn't like church either. If it was just an hour that I sat by myself, like that wouldn't be fun. There's no community. There's no connection there. It's just another thing to do on the list. But I also know of other kids who went to church and had a whole deaf ministry at their church and they loved it and are really passionate about it. So it depends on what resources are available to them.
Yeah. And the family is such a core element to everything that we deal with, even just as hearing people that can, you know, we grow up hearing and seeing normally. And, you know, even then the family is important. So it's just, I imagine that there's a huge challenge there.
Yeah.
And a reminder, I guess, that even now, the deaf are largely an isolated people, even in their own communities, like that geographically, which is wild. Have you had any, I know like you're still like young in your career as the ASL interpreter, have you had any experience in like a deaf ministry?
I've gone to a few different deaf churches. I haven't like joined a team or anything in them or like served in them. I've gone to a few of them. Might be happening in the next few weeks of like joining one and really getting involved, which I'm pretty excited about. But yeah, I think the ministry experience I've had has been more one-on-one. I was supposed to have a lot of opportunities over the summer, but COVID happened. So those kind of did not happen. But yeah, there was a young girl at one of the churches I've gone to that was deaf. And that's kind of where like my want to learn sign language stemmed from. And so like learning sign language and then being able to go back and sitting with the child during Sunday school and stuff like that, and just kind of like not being able to interpret, but being able to communicate and connect was really big in just letting them not just sit at church and be isolated. But yeah, there hasn't been a lot. I would say like mostly it's just one-on-one stuff with just going places and connecting with people. And I'm a big proponent of like, there has to be a relationship there before you can truly share the gospel. You sure, there's evangelistic techniques that definitely work some of the time, but my heart is more of building relationships and building connections. And especially with a community that may be isolated or can't, who really values relationships, like Deaf Standard Time comes from the fact that they can't, a while ago, they couldn't just pick up a phone and talk to their friends. Before texting and FaceTime was a thing, they couldn't just text their friends. You know, it was a lot harder for them. So Deaf Standard Time came from like, we're together, we're going to talk about everything that we can, no matter how long it takes, because we don't know the next time we're going to see each other. And that's still very huge in the deaf community. So getting to be a part of that and being like, hey, I'm not going to rush this. I'm not going to be like, oh, I got to go to this meeting, like see you later. But sitting down and having conversations and building that relationship so that the next time I see them, it can be like, hey, like I really want to tell you about Jesus, or I want to invite you to come to this ministry that I know has an interpreter. So that's kind of been where my ministry experience has been currently. So
that's really cool. Would you say that like the deaf community, are they like a really close, tight-knit group of people? There's not a lot of skirmish and division. Obviously, we're human, so there's some of that anywhere, but like they're a tight-knit community?
The ones I've been introduced to, yes. Yeah.
That's cool. So the ones, it probably differs.
Yeah. But definitely the ones that I've gotten to hang out with are super close and do everything together. And I've been really blessed to have those experiences and to have deaf communities that like really welcomed me in and was like, hey, we really want to help you learn sign language, because learning sign language is best and easiest when you're learning it from the source and when you're immersing yourself. So yeah.
That's so good. I wish, I think my, when I was halfway through college, they started offering ASL as one of the language options that you could take. And I, you know, I took Spanish, so I struggled, I'll say that. But I wish that I could have taken some ASL courses, because I think that's going to be more and more relevant now in our communities and our cultures to help bridge the gap between the hearing world and the world that doesn't hear.
Yeah, do it. Still do it. I'm always the proponent that you're never too old to learn. And there are a lot of resources now for learning. So
that's so good. In your opinion, and like just a conceptualization thought experiment, is there anything that the church, capital C, can do per se to have more unity with a deaf community? Because of the way I process it, it's almost like there are churches that are deaf churches, and then there's just the churches that, you know, we would typically know. And some churches have a deaf ministry within their church, but I imagine that it's a largely divided, even though we're all in the body of Christ, I imagine it's still kind of divided. What are your thoughts on that?
I've honestly never really thought about it, because in my mind, it's always been kind of like, you know, there's churches that, like Spanish churches and stuff like that. So that's how I've always viewed it in my mind, of just like, oh, it's their language and their culture and how they worship God. But I think it really just depends on the individual. Like some people really love going to deaf church because they know that they're going to get their language and they can talk to everybody there. And it's going to be in what they're comfortable with and how they connect and how they're spiritually fed. And then I know other people who go to hearing churches that have interpreters, because that's where they feel comfortable and connected and spiritually fed. And it really just depends on kind of like how we have things that we want in a church and we go looking for it. They have the same things. I think as for the church, it's just partnering with the deaf community. It's not so much of like, I think some people go into ministry with the heart of like, I need to save you. I need to make everything better in your life and in your community. And that's not necessarily what everybody wants or needs. And it's more of just like, hey, I love God. You love God. Like, let's work together and share this in both of our communities and both of our cultures and our languages. And sometimes that means, like, I know of churches who have an extra building or an extra room that they allow the deaf community to come in on Sunday mornings and do their own church while the hearing church is going on. I know of other churches that host silent dinners and silent events so that both communities can come together and hang out on Wednesday nights. I know of others who bring in interpreters, which if you bring in interpreters, treat them really well because it's a really hard job. But yeah, it really just depends on what is needed in your community. And the way you find that out is meeting with your deaf community, going out and finding them, being like, hey, let's partner together. What do you need? What can we do for you? How can we work together to expand the gospel in our community? And I think that's probably the most important thing. And from there, you know, you learn more things. You learn about the people you're working with and the people you're serving, and you can continue to build those ministries and how they need to go. So
it's so wild to think that there is a largely unreached people group just even in and amongst our American culture. You know what I mean? It's like a humbling thing because it's like, shoot, like we don't have it all together. You know, we still have work to do for the kingdom. And praise God, because, you know, we've said this a couple times on the podcast. A lot of people go into ministry, like you were just saying, thinking that my clever words are going to save people. My efforts are going to do it. So if I don't do it right, then it's not going to happen. But we know that the Lord is ultimately the one that changes the hearts of men. And he's given us the privilege of, you know, being used by him in these ways. So yeah, that's a really cool thing. And I guess it builds confidence too. Just because like, I don't know sign language doesn't mean that God isn't going to do his work, but it would be awesome if I could learn it and be involved in that work. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think we put a lot of pressure on ourselves and how, what we need to be doing. And that's important, but I think we need to come at it with like, what does God want to do in this moment? And how can I best be used to let that happen? And I think that goes for any ministry. So.
Yeah, no, that's so good. Do you need to know sign language in order to minister and work with the deaf? Is there anything that someone who like, man, I'm hearing this episode, I don't know sign language, but I want to get involved ASAP. Like, is there any opportunity for that to happen?
Well, there are a lot of different ministries out there that are already set up who could always use financial support. So if that's something that you feel called to do, then yeah, you don't need to know sign language for that. Prayer is always a really big ministry that anybody can do. You can pray, and I think that's really cool that like God knows all the languages. It's really fun to like sign prayers and be like, wow, that's really cool. Like God is understanding what's happening and it's not even vocal. I think it depends on who in the deaf community you're working with. There are oral deaf people. So, you know, if you're working with them, you don't necessarily need to know sign language. But if you want to get like in the front line with the deaf community, the signing deaf community, then yes, signing is kind of a prerequisite for that. But there are lots of resources to learn, so don't let that discourage you.
Yeah. So I have to share this story. When I was 19 years old, I got in my very first car accident. I had rear-ended somebody in a very populated area.
Oh, wow.
And I got out and I was asking them like, you know, do you have insurance papers? I'm sorry. Well, this person was deaf, but they were like, they could speak a little bit, mm-hmm. But they could barely, like, I really had to yell and I felt bad because I had never had an encounter before with someone who was deaf. And I felt bad because I was like yelling at them. There was police there. And I was just like, I promise I'm not yelling at this lady. She just needs to hear me.
Oh no.
But I just, you know, imagine how much easier that interaction would have been if I found it known even just a little bit of ASL.
Yeah. Yeah.
I imagine she would have known it too. Mm-hmm. But man, it was crazy.
Wow.
If we had a listener, as we're getting kind of to the end of this interview, if we had a listener that knows nothing about sign language, and they want to start learning, are there resources available that you know of that they could start jumping into and getting involved and start learning?
Yeah. So find the deaf community. That's my first thing, is find the deaf community. And just a lot of places, if there's a really big deaf community, they will have silent events, maybe on like the first Friday of the month, or some people do it every week. Find where your silent events are and like show up and be like, I don't know sign language, I want to learn. And just start going. And chances are the community will be pretty accepting and be like, yeah, let's teach you sign language. A lot of deaf schools. So there's a lot of deaf schools, especially now when everything's online and virtual access is super easy to get to. They're doing a lot of online classes. There's one, I think the Ohio School for the Deaf right now is doing, starting next month, I think, in February. I don't know when this is going to air, but in February, they're doing an 8-week free course of ASL. So like, look at the deaf schools in your area or not in your area, because they're online, and see if they're offering any free or cheap courses. But yeah, learning from the deaf community, I think, is always best. So just getting involved there, and find a deaf church in your area and just start going. A lot of them have interpreters. Actually, if you're wanting to get into ministry, looking up the Deaf Bible Society, they have some stuff on their website as well, and can point you into directions for that.
Well, I have a connection with a guy that his passion is deaf ministry, so he's helping plant like deaf churches all over the like central South United States. Which is kind of cool. And it's a ministry that I had come into contact with maybe like 2 or 3 months ago, maybe a little more than that. But anyway, like, it was something I had little exposure to. And I was like, this is interesting. This is cool. We should have a conversation about this, because I think it's something that needs to happen more, us learning about the unreached people group that is in our community itself. Is the deaf community kind of, you know, you mentioned that they'll probably be accepting if you want to learn. I imagine that, like, I've been in other countries where if you come in bold thinking that, like, you know, I know English, so I know it all, right? They're probably going to be a little bit more resistant to you. But if you were to enter into that deaf community and say, like, listen, I don't know it, but I want to learn, and can you help me? Can you teach me? Can we work together? You know, will they'll bring you in and they'll help you learn in that way?
Yeah, I think it depends on the community. There, it's just a lot of history with the deaf community and oppression surrounding their language. For a while, they were not allowed to use sign language. It was looked down upon. They had to learn how to be oral. They had to learn how to make it in a hearing world. When there's definitely kind of a rift of when hearing people come in to learn sign language for their own benefit and gain, because they're like, oh wow, it's so cool. And they use it, not because they want to hang out with the deaf community, but because they want to be like, look at this thing that I can do. So definitely, the attitude that you go into is super big. But if you're going in and you're like, hey, I think the deaf community is really cool and I want to learn sign language, talk to this community, then a lot of different deaf communities, at least the ones I've been a part of, I've been really accepting of that and been like, yeah, let's learn. Let's do silent dinners. Let's hang out and get lunch and only use sign language. And so it just, yeah, that posture of humility and that posture of like, I don't know everything and I definitely don't know this, and of learning and of being willing to have conversations and learning about the history and about the culture and the language altogether and the people is super important. So
That's awesome. Sarah, thank you for joining us today. This is a conversation that I've been wanting to have for a while with you. We've been trying to coordinate this for a little bit, and it's cool that this actually happened. So thank you for coming on today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun.
Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And praise God for people like Sarah and the other people who are, you know, making it their lives to understand sign language so that they can reach the deaf community. This is so cool. And this is allowing this very unreached people group to, I guess, see the precious word of Christ through witnessing and evangelism and outreach. So this is amazing. We're super thankful that this work is being done. Thank you for joining us today on the Happy Holy Hour. If you have any questions about any of this, you want to have a deeper conversation with one of us about what it means to be a Christ follower, please don't hesitate to reach out. Our email is happyholyhour@gmail.com. Send us an email or connect with us over the social medias that we have, Facebook and Instagram, and we would be glad to connect with you in that way. You can also leave us a voice message at our voicemail inbox at 484-961-0434. Don't worry, we're not going to pick up the phone and harass you. It'll go right to a voicemail inbox. So please send us your questions and your comments. We'd be glad to address them on the show. Remember to subscribe to your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. Leave a review so others can find the show. And lastly, visit our website so that you can see some other helpful resources. Thank you for joining us this week on the Happy Holy Hour, and we will see you next week.